This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Quite as good as he could, but that's Roy Orbison and Pretty Woman. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. This is Tampa Bay's libertarian radio voice. I am Paul Molloy. Holy cow, it is Monday, June the 1st already. And for us here in Florida, it's hurricane season starting. Thank you for joining us. We will be talking in a few minutes with Mark Thornton. He is a regular here. He's at the Ludwig von Mises Institute out of Auburn, Alabama, and he's got a new article out about how the Federal Reserve is stealing from the producers of our nation to enrich the financial class. Now, that does sound a little paranoid, doesn't it? Well, we're going to talk to him, see how he arrives at that logic. Also, unions in Los Angeles, after screaming about a higher minimum wage, they get it, you know, $15 an hour. In the City of Angels. Now they're trying to exempt themselves from the minimum wage. What's going on over there? We'll talk about that. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10 list, the top 10 dumbest states in America. You heard me right, the dumbest. They've got a way to figure it out, apparently. Freedom Works, we come to you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and we thank you for joining us, especially to those of you that are our loyal listeners. And I know we've got some of you out there, and we much appreciate it. We are here to promote the concept of individual freedom. Freedom as it was supposedly given to us through the Declaration of Independence and mapped out in the Constitution. But it does indeed seem like the freedoms that we once enjoyed aren't quite what they used to be. So we do the show because of that. Glad you're with us. If you'd like to call in, our toll-free number is 866-826-1340, 866-826-1340. Well, in a few minutes, Mark Thornton will be with us. He is a senior fellow at the Ludwig von Mises Institute, and he is talking about the Federal Reserve. And just to give you a little taste of what we're going to talk about, he has come out with an article called Meet Your Oppressors, but I don't really know what the title is, to be honest with you. But he says, we live in a world of massive monetary inflation and very low interest rates, extremely low. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, and yet it seems people cannot get loans. Home sales are up, but with a near record percentage of sales made with cash rather than through a mortgage. The unemployment rate is nearing what he calls full employment, and yet a record number of people do not have jobs. He says, we are repeatedly told that the unprecedented monetary stimulus by the Federal Reserve and other central banks is necessary to stimulate the economy, to create jobs, and to generate economic growth. But here's where Mark goes off this track. He says the truth is that this scheme is designed to stealthily steal from the productive class in order to enrich the unproductive financial class and the counterproductive political classes. He says it's a con game. So that's what we're going to be talking about in a few minutes. Now, in the meantime, you probably know, if you've been following the news this morning, that the National Security Agency's ability to collect your phone records has expired. It expired at midnight Monday. And the Senate has failed to strike a deal. They're going to try to bring it back. People like Rand Paul, very much against bringing it back. But they are going to try to bring it back. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell wants the surveillance program to continue. He is very much in the belief that that surveillance program is helping us to keep the bad guys away. So he wants to continue it. He has reluctantly embraced a House-passed bill that would extend the anti-terror provisions while also remaking the bulk collection programs. Now, members of the Senate have returned yesterday, rare session on a Sunday, in a last-minute attempt to extend the National Security Agency's surveillance program. The program to search for terror connections and to authorize two other programs under the Patriot Act, which actually came about after the 2001 terror attacks in New York and in Washington. So they're going to continue to fight on this. I know that Rand Paul was very much opposed to it. He feels that there are other ways to do it. One of the things I heard Rand Paul say this morning is that instead of allowing our government to collect phone data and metadata and all whatever data you want to call it, you know, now we got, I mean, it's not just the phones anymore, right? It's the internet, right? The internet itself. He says that we ought to hire a lot more, you know, thousands more FBI and concentrate on those people that we know in this country that are doing us wrong or are trying to do us wrong. And I think to some extent, he makes some sense. But others will say, but if you try to do that, what about the people that are coming in that you haven't discovered? And I guess there's an argument on the other side that says, look, the government keeps its hands off your metadata. It's just stored at the different, you know, Verizon's, Bright House Networks, Comcast, Charter Communications, whatever it is, you know, your service providers. They'll keep those records as they would anyway. And then if the government feels there's somebody doing something wrong, they could go to a judge and ask for that data. Now, I'm not so sure that's a bad idea if you want to know the truth, and I'm a libertarian. I think there's some, you know, I'd like to feel that we can act quickly if there is some problem in terms of finding out what's going on with the bad guys. But this is going to continue. Congress, Republican-controlled, will bring it up again. And so stay tuned for more on the Patriot Act. Anyway, we're going to take our break, and when we come back, Mark Thornton will join us.
Only the lonely.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The Tampa Bay Lightning are headed to the Stanley Cup Final for the second time in franchise history, slated for a series with the Chicago Blackhawks, which begins on Wednesday night at Amalie Arena. The Bolts were named Eastern Conference champions following a 2-0 shutout of the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden on Friday night. The Rangers, who were previously 7-0 in Game 7 situations at home, were unable to overcome Ben Bishop and a solid Lightning defense. The Blackhawks also punched a ticket to the final in a Game 7 situation, beating the Anaheim Ducks on the road by the score of 5-3. The Ducks, who were the top seed in the Western Conference, were knocked off by a potent and experienced Chicago team. Tampa Bay is now the first team ever to face four original six teams during the playoffs, a noticeable feat for an expansion team in a non-traditional hockey market. The Bolts practice at Amalie Arena today in preparation for Game 1 at home. With your Lightning update, I'm Samantha Wiemat.
The Tampa Bay Lightning have made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. Listen to all the games right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You could have lunch with a king.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
You could have lunch with the queen. Or you could have lunch with the Chamber every Monday at noon. Join your host, Alex Petro, for an insider's look at local business, the latest news, who's who in local business, plus special guests who offer a unique perspective on what matters most, local business. Lunch with the Chamber, Mondays from noon until 1.
Powered by Barter Rewards, where we put an extra wallet in your pocket.
Hi, this is Regis, host of the Regis Sneary Show, serving those who serve. Join me every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network. If you have friends or family who have served or who are currently serving in the military, the show is for you. That's the Regis Sneary Show, serving those who serve, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
My name's Joni Siegel, and I'm the producer of the L. Ron Hubbard East Coast Golden Age Theater, WTAN Radio's presentation of Tales from the Golden Age. Tales in every popular genre. Let us return you to a time when fiction was good, clean entertainment, and the most fun a kid could have on a rainy afternoon, or the best thing an adult could enjoy after a long day at work.
East Coast Golden Age Theater, Monday evening at 6 on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, thanks for joining us here on Freedom Works this Monday, June the 1st already. Holy Toledo. We're delighted to have our old friend Mark Thornton back with us this morning. Mark is the senior fellow at the great Ludwig von Mises Institute out of Auburn, Alabama. And he's also the book review editor of the Quarterly Journal of Austrian Economics. And Mark has penned an article, it's either coming out today or soon will be coming out, on the Federal Reserve and whether or not it is stealing from the productive, the producers of our country, to enrich the financial class, among other things. Mark, welcome to Freedom Works, and tell me, what exactly do you mean by this?
Well, Paul, it's a fancy term called financial repression. And basically, you know, we've been repeatedly told that all this unprecedented monetary stimulus by the Federal Reserve and other central banks is necessary to stimulate the economy, create jobs, and generate economic growth. But the truth is that this scheme is designed to stealthily steal from the productive classes in order to enrich the financial class and, of course, the political class as well. So it's just a big con game of the American people.
Now, that sounds like a kind of a conspiracy theory. Is that really what it is here? Are they actually figuring this out to do this intentionally?
Yes. I mean, they know how to do this intentionally. They're, you know, printing money, causing prices in the economy to go up, while our incomes do not go up and have actually declined in real terms. So our real wages are going down. And, of course, our savings in banks is earning almost no interest whatsoever. And the whole idea here is to allow government to borrow our money at ridiculously low rates. And so governments can borrow at very low rates, and yet prices are going up. And so the real value of the government debt is actually going down, and the interest on the debt is relatively small compared to what it would be without all this financial repression.
Well, it's kind of so. What's the bottom line of all of this? What is happening now? You say that that the financial class itself is getting rewarded because of this Fed policy. And also, you mentioned the political classes are getting rewarded. Is that true?
Yes. I mean, well, just think about it in terms of banks. You know, banks are getting money from the Federal Reserve at very low rates. Their own excess reserves, the Fed is paying them interest. And so they're in a great position. It's like being a bakery and getting free flour and eggs. I mean, who can't make money if they're getting free inputs into the production process? So banks and Wall Street, of course, is doing incredibly well, and the hedge funds and so forth, because this financial repression, it hurts savers and entrepreneurs, but it benefits the stock market and it benefits the bond market. And of course, right now we're sitting on all-time highs in the stock market, all-time highs in the bond market, all-time profits for banks and Wall Street firms. And so that class has benefited tremendously, and we're, you know, we're coining new billionaires every day, I think, as a result of that. So there's no doubt that that high-flying financial class is benefiting tremendously, but it also helps the politicians because the Federal Reserve is essentially bailing out Congress, you know, making it very easy for them to borrow money, making it very easy for them to pay the interest on the national debt and get access to resources. So, you know, we've been running trillion-dollar deficits and or at least multi-hundred-billion-dollar deficits for years now, so that the political class is just spending money like crazy, including hundreds of billions of dollars on our hugely huge spy network that we have with the CIA and the FBI and 11 different federal spy agencies. So the political class can spend money at will in the United States and around the world because the Fed is helping to finance all that.
Okay, but now anybody that's an entrepreneur still can borrow at lower rates, right? So even small businesses to some extent might be getting a benefit from this policy of keeping interest rates low. If I want to start a new business and I have to borrow money, and I only have to pay, you know, what, 3% or under 3% interest? That would be an incentive for me. So is it not also helping to some extent the small businesses? No?
No, I don't really see that. It's very difficult for small businesses to get loans from banks anyways. New firms are actually emerging to get around the banking system, but the banks themselves are very reluctant to loan money. And, you know, mortgage rates are very low, but good luck applying for and getting a mortgage. There's a record number, you know, in terms of the housing market, what is an example, there's a record number of sales of homes for cash only. So that means that potential homeowners have a very difficult time getting a mortgage out there. And so the mortgage market, the interest rates are low, but the barriers to getting them, especially for first-time home buyers or startup entrepreneurs, that money is very, very difficult
really?
To come by.
So a guy that wants to buy a house, is going to have a problem getting a loan for a house mortgage? Is the typical buyer these days, as opposed to, say, 10 years ago or 20 or 30 years ago, is it harder for him to get a mortgage?
Absolutely. You have to have a very high credit score. You have to have a pretty long job experience, you know, history of earning money.
That was the way it used to be anyway, way before they started kind of tinkering around in an effort to get more people, you know, that really couldn't afford to pay the mortgages into homes. Back in the, you know, I know when I first bought a home, and this goes way back into the mid to late 70s, you had to have a lot. You had to prove that you had the money to pay the mortgage, and that wasn't such a bad thing, in my opinion. Now, mortgage rates back in the mid 70s were very high. You remember after Jimmy Carter got in, how those mortgage interest rates went up, right? They were in double digits back then.
I mean, there's no question about that. And I do like, you know, the banks to have some lending standards, but you know, the fact is that people who used to be able to qualify for loans, and I know several people who are, you know, typical of the people who would qualify for mortgages, but they can't get the mortgage, or it's very difficult, and it's a long time period. And so, you know, people who don't have pre-approved financing or people who don't have cash, it's very difficult out there in the marketplace, and that's why you see a record number, a record percentage of home sales going for cash only.
We're talking with Mark Thornton. He is, of course, from the great Ludwig von Mises Institute. Ludwig von Mises, for those of you that don't know, was a terrific and famous Austrian economist. Very libertarian, was he not, Mark? That whole concept of the Austrian theory of economics?
Oh, yes, absolutely. When you study the economy and you're trying to figure out why it actually works in the first place and why it doesn't work, Mises and the other Austrian economists found that the marketplace of entrepreneurs is the source of our prosperity. They're what makes things tick. They put together the factors of production in a productive way in order to serve consumers. And so that's the path to prosperity and growth. And government intervention in the economy is the source of distortions in the economy and misallocations of resources. So naturally, yes. you come to a libertarian view of the world. And we're sitting here in Auburn, Alabama. We're just welcoming the new crop of Mises Summer Fellows who are graduate students who study the economy and who are going to extend our knowledge of how the economy works and why central banking and other interventions essentially screw up the economy. Mm-hmm. So we're very excited to see all these fresh faces here, and we'll be kicking off the summer next week with the Rothbard Graduate Seminar, where we study in depth the work of Murray Rothbard, who was the premier student of Ludwig von Mises back in the day of in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Well, God bless those students. Boy, do we need more people out there talking about the reality of the free market, which is, you know, in so many ways the answer to all of these problems that are cropping up. People just tend to forget about the fact that it's the free market that is the innovative, you know, the innovative laboratory for us of all of the things that come along. I mean, they seem to think that somehow there is this this mentality, I guess, that if you allow people that, you know, want to create a new product or market a new product out there, that if you don't rein them in with some sort of federal control, that deep down they're inherently evil. Is there not some truth to that crazy notion?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the mentality of Washington, D.C., that they have to control everything. But if you look at the world and the areas that they control the most, are also the areas that are most screwed up. So that, for example, banking is extremely over-regulated in every aspect of what they do. And that's actually an aspect of financial repression, that the government controls everything that the banks do so much that the banks have to provide office space for federal regulators because they're right inside the bank telling them what to do on a day-to-day basis. If it's a large bank, not every branch obviously has a regulator in it. But yeah, these kids here, you know, they're going to get their PhDs and they're going to be in American universities. And we have one student in China from China, one student, a couple students from Europe, and one student from Latin America. And these guys are going to go back and start the engine of Austrian economics and sound economic theory around the world. So it's like being a farmer planting the seeds that are going to, you know, yield a tremendous bounty of freedom in the future. So we're up and running here and very excited about this. And my article, you're right, Paul, my article on financial repression, it's called The Meaning of Financial Repression, and it's on the front page of our webpage, mises.org. And so I urge all of our listeners to go out there and pick that article up and subscribe to our Mises Daily. It's short, pertinent articles about what's going on in the economy. And it's the one way you can fight off the mainstream media and the mainstream economists and the politicians in Washington, D.C. that are so disruptive and destructive of what's going on in our daily lives.
Well, Mark, as always, it's always a pleasure to talk with you about things like this. And again, people can go to Mises.org, look for Financial Repression, an article by Mark Thornton of the Ludwig von Mises Institute. Mark, thank you so very much. Good luck with the article. And again, congratulations to your students.
Thank you very much, Paul. It's great being with you here.
All right. Mark Thornton, my friends, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we got so much to talk about, including why do unions in LA want to exempt themselves from the minimum wage?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Let's go bowling! Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tan Talk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, Bowling Stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
Want to improve your golf game? Here's a list of game-changing on-course classes and clinics this month at Clearwater Country Club. How to gain distance, easy outs and shots, how to master your chips, take the fear out of putting. Get your friends together for special group lesson savings. For information, call Mike at 727-776-8380. To schedule a tee time, call 727-461-4188.
At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy a lifestyle to fit your needs. From independent living, assisted living, memory care, and skilled nursing. Our assisted living lifestyle provides 24-hour assistance. You'll enjoy meals in your private dining room, housekeeping, linen and personal laundry service, scheduled transportation, personal security transmitter necklace, assistance with bathing and dressing, and supervision with medication. You'll really enjoy our in-house amenities, including a full-service waterfront dining room, outdoor garden patio, all utilities, including phone and cable, beauty and barbershop, and a library. An outstanding activities program awaits you, and so much more. You'll enjoy affordable luxury living, complete with a million-dollar view. Call today, 727-445-4069, and discover where caring, compassionate service makes the difference.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We're back on Freedom Works. Thank you again for joining us on Monday, June the 1st. Wow, here we go. Summer, here we come, right? Well, in Los Angeles, you know how the unions have been pushing minimum wage, raising minimum wage, because it benefits their people, right? If you raise the minimum wage, it means that the rate that union workers get will also be raised, and it's always well above the minimum wage. But the City Council of Los Angeles has voted to raise the minimum wage in the city to $15 an hour by 2020. However, unions in Los Angeles are pushing to be exempt from it, to be exempt from paying $15 an hour. What is that all about? How come they, is that a little bit ironic and hypocritical? I would think so. Last week, the LA City Council voted 14-1 to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Now, though there are some things that have yet to be finalized on the deal, a draft of the measure prompted some in the labor movement to ask for an exemption for unionized companies and their workers. That would give unionized companies a bit of an edge over non-unionized companies, you see? And that's what the unions want. They want to get an edge over those that are free market shops, non-union shops. Make the non-union shops pay at least $15 an hour, but not the union shops. I mean, can't they understand that people are going to see through that? Here is a guy by the name of Hicks, Rusty Hicks. He's the executive secretary treasurer for the L.A. County Federation of Labor, the union there. He says, raising the minimum wage in Los Angeles is a tremendous victory. He says, there are a number of outstanding issues that are in need of further review, including the collective bargaining supersession clause. This clause preserves and protects basic worker rights, and that is why nearly every city in California that has ever passed a minimum wage ordinance has included these protections. In other words,
pass a bill to raise the minimum wage on everybody but yourself. How's that sound? That's what they're trying to do in Los Angeles. You'll note that even in Seattle, where they are slowly getting to a $15 per hour minimum wage, go and look at what they pay many of these city council people that have raised the minimum wage or are trying to, what they pay their own people that work for them. And it's the same thing, and by the way, in Washington. You know how they scream about gender equality? And then you go to look at these politicians that are screaming about it, and you look at their staffs, and you see that there's anything but gender equality when it comes to pay in many cases. So there are hypocrites all throughout the public system in our country. Now there are hypocrites in the private sector, too. It's just that the hypocrites in the public sector have a microphone and a forum to point fingers at everybody else, don't they? So that's what's going on now in Los Angeles. The unions want an exemption from the minimum wage, but will push the minimum wage for everybody else. In the meantime, speaking about unions, supporters of tougher regulations on businesses usually present them as necessary to curb abuses by the corporations, right? Tougher regulations. Those corporation fat cats are cheating us again. However, the Obama administration is pursuing a new labor rule that would largely ignore big business and target small and medium-sized companies, the very companies that the Obama administration purports to protect. Under the federal persuader rule, businesses currently must disclose whenever they hire somebody to try to convince their employees that they should not unionize. Hence, the rule's name. Now, the administration wants to expand the disclosure to include any time managers who receive legal advice on the subject are around. So the persuader rule, as it's called, is part of the Labor Management Reporting and Disclosure Act. Now, that act was passed back in 1959. Its intention was to prohibit anti-union campaigns, undercover, stealth anti-union campaigns by employers. But there you go. This is why the government, when it gets involved in the private sector, always screws things up. And it makes it harder, makes everything more expensive for everybody. Innovation is slower. Oh, boy, it's really crazy. Now, I want to talk a little bit. Ann Coulter, if you know Ann Coulter, you know she's very conservative. In fact, one time, you know, this is the time of year now where all these commencement speeches are going on. Ann Coulter was once at a... at a commencement speech, I think it was a commencement speech, somebody went running after her with one of those cream pies and got real close and threw it at her. And that's not, where's the decorum? Where's the decorum? Throw a fruit pie, because then if you get hit, at least you can have, you know, some nutrition in it. So Ann Coulter has written a book called Adios America. And it talks about how government elites are conspiring to pretty much change the makeup of this country. So I'm going to read a little bit from it because I found it very interesting. Very interesting take on immigration from Ann Coulter. She says, for 40 years, the people have tried to tell politicians that they want less immigration, but the politicians are not listening. Every single elite group in America is aligned against the public wishes. The media, ethnic activists, big campaign donors, Wall Street, multimillionaire farmers, and liberal churches. They're all aligned against the general public, according to Ann. She says they all want mass immigration from third world countries to continue. She says both political parties, not just the Democrats, both, connive to grant illegal aliens citizenship and bring in millions more legally, and then the media glosses it over, hides the evidence. She says their game plan is never allow an honest debate on immigration. She says only in the case of immigration is the public systematically lied to from every major news outlet. For example, she says, polls show the public overwhelmingly supports comprehensive immigration reform. Comprehensive immigration reform. That's what they claim, but she says no poll shows that. She says the left uses the polls to manipulate public opinion rather than to quantify it. She says the people want the borders closed in this country. She says the people want borders defended. They don't want comprehensive immigration reform. No way, no how. She says typical on all of this hiding and fakery is a Brookings Institution poll that asked respondents to choose between two ways to solve illegal immigration. Arrest and deport all those here illegally, number one, or number two, provide an earned path to citizenship. Absolutely no one has proposed that we deport all those that are here illegally, and we can't do it anyway, she says, much less arrest them. But she says, can I not be against amnesty without voting for rounding up illegals at gunpoint? No, she says, look at the menu, no substitutions. They don't give you that option. She says, you know, I don't want them all sent back to Mexico. I want it stopped. We don't put the borders up. We'll figure out a way to deal with the people that are here illegally. But we're not going to round them up, children and women first. Drive yellow school buses across to Mexico again. Dump them over on the other side with the snakes and the scorpions. We're not going to do that. That's what she's... Now, I'm embellishing her story a little bit. And Chris is in the control room laughing at me. But anyway...
I don't like snakes.
Well, I don't either. I was watching a good movie last night, by the way.
Snakes on a plane?
Have you seen this movie called... oh, goodness, what was the name of it? Oh, The Wild. Wild.
Into the Wild?
No, Wild, I think it was called.
Wild?
It's with that actress... I'm losing my memory here.
Oh, is that the one with Reese Witherspoon?
Yes!
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
She's like a drifter?
Yes!
Yes.
It's really well done. It's really well done. And there's a scene in, you know, she decides to take a trek in the Mojave Desert and go all the way north, all the way to Seattle, basically. You know, she goes through like a 600-mile trek.
Okay.
And she's trying to find herself. And it's really well done. I give it 4 stars.
I feel like a lot of people head to the Pacific Northwest to try to find themselves.
Yes.
What is it about the Pacific Northwest that you all of a sudden realize who you are?
Because you're one with nature. Look what you've got.
Is the coffee that good?
Well, I don't think it's any better there than anywhere else, if you want my personal opinion. However, the mountains are better. The beauty of the Northwest nobody can deny.
Yeah,
and there's a pristine naturalness to the Northwest that perhaps in California, where we've kind of tread there and we've got so many, you know. So I think that's what it is. And you find yourself in nature. Beautiful lakes, mountains with snow on top of them, rainforests. I mean, come on.
I've never been. I don't know.
Give us a program,
man. I've never been. We should take a walkabout.
We should. And she finds a rattlesnake along the way. That's why I wanted to go all the way back to this story about rattlesnakes and the like. And it's sitting there rattling away. You know, and she's got this huge backpack on, by the way. I don't know how technically it showed her trying to get into it at one point. And she was on the floor like a turtle upside down on its shell, trying to write herself. It was really...
So she's backpacking through Europe or something.
Oh, and I don't... And finally, she gets the thing, you know, she gets it on her back, and she's like leaning way... And you go, there's no way she can walk... And she gets herself up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really kind of well done. Anyway, enough about that. Back to this story about Ann Coulter. She says, you know, these polls are made to talk about illegal immigration, like people are going to send everybody back to Mexico. But she says that's not the truth. They don't want comprehensive immigration. They want the borders closed. The vast majority of the people in this country want that done. Now, she says immigrants are doing jobs Americans just won't do. She says that's not true. She said, Americans are happy to do all manner of jobs. They just will not do them for $7 an hour. She says, unions used to care about that, but now they just want political power. She says, Democrats want the votes. Certain businesses' interests want the cheap labor. So both parties have something to say positive about illegal immigrants when it comes to staying in the country. Anyway, we're going to take our break, but it's very interesting. Adios America by Ann Coulter, and she does talk about a conspiracy on both sides of the political classes wanting to conspire. Anyway, take our break. Lots more to talk about, so don't go away.
Only the lonely.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Have you written a book? Want to write one? Or do you just enjoy reading? Listen to Joy on Paper every Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock for the story behind the book as I interview best-selling authors, agents, and publishers. Remember, that's Joy on Paper on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio, 1340 WTAN.
Struggling with family conflict, depression, or trauma? Has something been keeping you up at night, causing excessive stress and worry? Tune in to Moments of Clarity every Wednesday night at 8. After over 10 years as a psychotherapist, I realized how important it is to take the stigma out of seeking professional help. So tune in Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. The call to me can be a great first step. It may just be exactly what you need to hear.
Hi, it's Sawyer from the Dolphin Tale movies. Now is the perfect time to visit the world-famous Clearwater Marine Aquarium. Millions have seen us around the world, and now you can experience what we do in person. Come and reconnect with Winter and her fun-loving movie co-stars, Hope, Mavis, and yes, that crazy bird, Rufus. Immerse yourself into the world of marine life rescue with the behind-the-scenes tour. Explore the film sets, and don't miss our free boating adventure. Save time in line when you buy tickets at seawinter.com. Kids only $16.95.
Some people don't believe in mermaids. Hope that's not you, because they exist at Wikiwachi Springs State Park off US 19 and State Road 50, just north of Spring Hill. Since 1947, the magic of the mermaids have been entertaining visitors at the 538-acre Springs Park. Come and watch in the 400-seat submerged theater, The Little Mermaid Show at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. daily. Wikiwachi State Park offers mermaid shows, reptile shows, boat tours, and swimming in the pristine spring. At Buccaneer Bay, Wikiwachi State Park is a perfect backdrop for wedding receptions, birthday parties, picnics, meetings, retreats, family reunions, or just to relax on the white sandy beach. Step back in time when things were much simpler and enjoyable. Spend the day at an original theme park. Call 352-592-5656 or log on to wikiwachi.com for upcoming events, hours, and ticket pricing. Wikiwachi Springs State Park, where mermaids do exist.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, thanks for being with us. This is Freedom Works. We come to you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And we were talking a little earlier about Ann Coulter, and she was delivering commencement speeches, and somebody attacked the podium with a pie. I don't know if it was a commencement speech, but she was making a speech somewhere, and somebody didn't like what she was saying.
I had that happen.
Really?
When I was in high school, we did I think it was our junior booth. We had a little town fair, and every class had a thing they had to do at the fair. Not had to, but, volunteer for, whatever.
Right.
And the juniors, I think it was, did a pie-in-the-face booth one year.
Really?
And being the person that I am, obviously volunteered to be in the booth, and it was funny enough, I think I got the most money donated out of everyone that was in there. I had so many of my third grade teacher, I think, dropped $20
just to throw pies
in my face. You could throw one pie for $1, or for $5 you could just walk right up and smash it in their face. And I think she I think she did it to me like two or three
times. She was getting back at you. See, she had the opportunity. You were too young when she had you.
When you couldn't. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't put baby in the corner.
I've got him. And he pulls out his entire wallet. Wow, that's great.
It was, it was a woman. That was the best part. I was like, Mrs. Lamoureux, you can't boom. Right in the face.
Funny.
Right in the face.
I bet she was laughing as she did it.
Oh, we both were. I just looked at it. And even to this day, I think I saw her like two or three years ago. And we just, we laugh, we hug, we say hi.
Yeah.
It's funny.
That is funny. And that's a great way of raising money.
Yeah.
Very innovative. Give you a gold star for that. Now,
ring the bell.
Yeah. So, liberal speakers, however, are dominating all these commencement speeches here in June. I guarantee you. For every conservative speaker at a university, there are going to be 10 liberals at universities speaking.
Is that the way it always is?
Yeah. I think even when I was in school, you know, it's not as bad. It wasn't as bad back then. But your teachers are generally, it's just like artists.
Right, yeah.
Teachers and artists are generally liberal. They come from a class that that honestly... In a way, here's the way I look at artists. They're basically libertarians, if you think about it. Artists. They're libertarians. They sell a product which is their own of their own creation. You know, actors, musicians, painters. Mm-hmm. They are selling something that they can create. So they'll walk into a movie place or an art gallery or, you know, you name it, or, you know, concert place and say, look, I've got this talent. But they represent themselves. They're very libertarian. So it's always somewhat ironic that the very people that are in these industries that tend to be so liberal, in other words, group rights kinds of people, are so individually entrepreneurial and libertarian. You know, all the actors that demand those high salaries, you know, are basically... doing one-on-ones. They're not in some union where everybody gets paid the same. They get paid for being good.
Right.
Very, very open. It's very market-oriented. Very if you don't make a good movie, Chris, or if you have a couple of stinkers in a row, your marketability as an actor just goes through the floor. Well, your marketability drops through the roof, through the floor. So it's very market-oriented, and that's the way I think it should be. But then these same people preach social justice, group rights, but they don't practice it. Somewhat to me hypocritical.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's the way of the world.
It is the way of the world. A little
sad.
Bit. Okay, so liberal speakers will outnumber conservatives. I said 10 to 1. According to this article, they will outnumber them only 6 to 1. With the nation's top 100 schools, they've actually done a survey, I guess, of commencement speakers.
But aren't any of those schools conservative schools?
Most of them are not. There are some. Yeah, there are some. The first one that comes to mind as a very conservative school is Liberty College, Liberty University. But that was founded by Jerry Falwell and his group, and they're a very conservative.
Yeah,
but there, you know, for every Liberty University, you've got Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Berkeley, University of Chicago. They're all bastions of liberalism.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They really are. Now, so, liberal speakers will outnumber conservatives by at least 6 to 1 at the nation's top 100 schools, as ranked by U.S. News and World Report, according to a conservative watchdog group called Young America's Foundation. Among the top 10 of the list, which includes schools like Princeton, University of Chicago, and Duke, none of them are hosting conservative speakers. It says here, our 2015 survey shows that the conservative blackout on college campuses has only gotten worse. He says, while conservatives won the national elections by a wide margin, campuses have doubled down on liberal speakers. So there you go.
They want to be liberal when they're young, but then when they get older, they become conservative.
There's an old saying, you know. You've heard it, I'm sure. Yeah. If you're not liberal when you're young, you have no heart. If you're not conservative when you're an adult, you have no brain. And that's
Wizard of Oz.
I think he might have said that. You're right. Well, it's time for, speaking about having brains, the top 10 dumbest states in America. And this comes from thestreet.com. And by the way, I don't buy it. So right at, in front of this, I'm going to tell you that I don't buy this. But I'm going to read them anyway, and we'll get a kick out of it, okay? All right, it's all in fun. Here we go. Number 10. Incidentally, they base it on median household income, average SAT scores, and however they got this one, average IQ. How do you ever get the average IQ of a state?
Okay.
Number 10 is Tennessee. I lived in Tennessee. I lived in Memphis as a little boy for 3 years.
Huh.
But they claim that their average IQ is 97.7, which makes them 41st in the country.
Mm, wow. Huh.
Number 9. Here's another state I lived in. Maybe I left dumbness in all of these states. Oklahoma. Oklahoma. The average.
There's a lot of Southern and Midwest here, isn't there?
I tell you what. So far, the Southern and Midwest are going to look bad on this this poll. Ah, number and their IQ rank is 99.3. It's a little bit better than Tennessee's, but their SAT scores are lower than Tennessee's, according to this. Number 8. This one's a little surprising. It's a Midwestern state. It's Indiana.
Okay.
But it's a conservative state. I noticed most of these are all conservative states. I think a liberal put this together. And the average IQ in Indiana is 101.7, which makes it smarter than Oklahoma and Tennessee. Their average SAT score, though, is lower than Tennessee and Oklahoma.
Wow.
So all those farm people don't know how to take any tests.
Yeah, they know how to shoot a three-pointer. That's about it.
They do. Number 7. Another state I lived in, Chris, Alabama. I lived in Auburn, Alabama.
So you're 3 out of 4 here.
I'm 3 out of 4. I'm starting to feel really stupid. The average SAT score there is higher than Indiana's, but lower than the other two. And the average IQ is only 96. All right, number 6. Nevada.
Wow.
Did you think Nevada would be part of this?
If you think long and hard, maybe you think about the older people.
You think?
Maybe. I mean, people.
Because people are stupid there because they gamble so much,
yeah,
they must be stupid.
They just, yeah, I don't know.
Their average IQ is about 97 in Nevada, and they got a very low SAT score. All right. Number 5, Louisiana. Are you surprised?
No.
No, I'm not either. Louisiana just, you know, it's just. It's just Louisiana. Let's just leave it at that. They're low in everything, and their average IQ is only 95.
There's a really bad joke to be made there.
All right, go ahead. This is a tasteless program.
All right, well,
it's not dirty, right?
No, but if they were, maybe if they scored better on that list, they wouldn't have. They would have been able to build a better dam.
Yeah. You mean Katrina? They were too stupid to figure out. I think you're probably right. Number 4, Kentucky. Kentucky, my friend. And I'm from the great state of Kentucky.
Are you?
No.
Oh, jeez. I was like, you're killing this list.
I know it. Number, I would have been. Kentucky is number 4, and their average IQ is decent. Their average SAT score is decent, but their median household income is in the pits. Okay, number 3, Mississippi. I'm not surprised.
No.
Mississippi's lowest in just about everything. Enough said about them. Number 2. Arkansas.
I was going to say Arkansas.
Yeah, good old Arkansas. They're, you know, all these border southern states, kind of sad, isn't
it? And I can almost guarantee that we're going to nail this. You already know it, but I don't, but I bet I know the last one.
All right,
one.
Go ahead. Number 1.
West Virginia.
You are right.
Yeah.
Number 1 is West Virginia. And too much moonshine. That's all I have to say. FreedomWorks, thank you for joining us, my friends. We will be back on Wednesday. Bye for now.